Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is a special program, going to be part of an ongoing series for people who have had diagnosis of long-term illnesses, things like cancer, diabetes, hypertension, lupus, dialysis, the kind of things that go on and on for a period of time. I've been trying to figure out how to use some of my tools that I know to help with guided visualizations or organizing some things that can lower the stress of folk who have chronic or longer-term issues, figuring out how to get in contact with you, sort of. It's been a challenge because I apparently skipped over some of the obvious things, which is blog talk or using these radio programs as a way of getting out an audio file to you. I've been working on developing visits or centers, working with other groups, which is not to say that I wouldn't. If you know a local group of people who meets in the Metro Boston area, I'd be happy to come and visit with you if I can to show you some of these tools. But I've found preponderantly that unlike the people I know who do these kinds of programs year in, year out, week after week after week, I can't commit to a specific time because I run my own business, and I might be here this week and in Canada next week. I might be here the following week, and I might be in L.A. the week after. So really hard to schedule my other clients around that. So what I decided I would do is figure out how to every week sort out a time that I could organize myself to get 15 minutes to put together a program to help people start to get a handle on some of these things. Because one of the issues around such things as longer-term illnesses, and if any of you might have known, my mother had lung cancer and was a long-term, multiple, 20 years long-term survivor. She also had diabetes and hypertension and some other things. So I have some kind of an idea about how it is people live positive lives with these illnesses. And part of my training as a hypnotist also helped me to sort out some ways of helping people reduce stress, because that's one of the things that just sort of adds makes almost everything else worse. Any illness you might have, any issue you might have is made worse. And the healing processes of our body is often, there's lots of studies out this, and maybe someday I'll talk about that, lots of studies out that, the healing processes of our bodies happen best when we are relaxed. So we give our body a chance to heal. So for people who are long-term survivors of things, and I actually think that in some things that once people are on medication for some things like hypertension or diabetes, they kind of forget they have these things, except our bodies don't forget. So the side effects of taking these things and keeping up with them because things like diabetes and hypertension and lupus and some other things are often better managed if we monitor effectively what we eat, when we eat, how we eat. So this program is not about making medical ideas or suggestions in any way, but if you have requirements that you need to meet, this might help you to meet them. Because if you're hypertensive, then they probably talk to you about sodium, which doesn't affect everyone, but who's to say whether you're in that group that's affected, sensitive to salt or not. A lot of people I know, when they change their eating habits, their hypertension gets better. So sorting out ways in the program to help you think about how you can have a positive impact and not to, in a way, to sort of not let a diagnosis become you, because you are not your diagnosis. You're a person working with or living with whatever it is that you're living with other than normal, healthy a life, but it's something you're living with. It's not, it isn't you. It's not, even though you may feel it, that your illness is what is taken over for you, that's not really you. You're still the you who's within, who's always been there, and learning to manage the thing, whatever it is, so that it remains, you're aware of it, and doing what you need to do for it, but you're allowing yourself to be free of the burden of thinking in a way that you're not as you should be. So hopefully that makes sense. It made sense to me. But so these programs, if you have some suggestions on a topic you'd like me specifically to talk about, please feel free to email me at rfw@mutarehypnosis.com and put in the subject blog talk. So that's rfw@mutarehypnosis.com. Put in the subject field blog talk and make your suggestions or ideas on topics or a specific thing you want me to discuss. This week, as it's sort of an initial week, I'd like to return to a basic relaxation model, because a lot of things come out of the basic idea that you, first of all, you take time to remain to be calm. Now, there's a school of thought, some of you may be people who are spiritual or prayerful, and those kind of things are important. In this case, I'm asking you to do something less active, if you will, mentally than prayer. And very often when we're praying for other people or praying for ourselves. It's sort of an activity. I want you to practice breathing instead of doing for this week. I would like to encourage you, if you live in a place where it's okay for you to stand outside, be outside, sit outside, if it's comfortable for you, to go outside and do this, or if you're in a place where it's rainy or the weather's lousy or you sort of don't have time, I want you to think about finding yourself a little time. And for some of us, because you're going to be listening to this through the computer, some of us, even if you can't recall a place, bring up a picture, even if it's on your smartphone, of a place you find relaxing. We can discuss this later also. The subconscious doesn't know the difference between reality and what we tell it is reality. So if you tell your mind you're sitting on a beach in Jamaica, you will begin, if you find that a relaxing situation, your body will begin to respond to that. So I want you to, for a moment, I want you to visualize, imagine, or picture yourself in a place where you like to be, that's outside, that's comfortable to you, that's peaceful, that you find a relaxing thing to do. You're there by yourself. There are no other people around, but you feel safe and comfortable. I want you just to imagine yourself in this place and allow yourself, and I'm going to breathe audibly so you can hear me, but it's not necessary for you to do so. One of the things that helps to speed up the process of relaxation is to breathe and relax what's called the diaphragm, which is a membrane that's between sort of the lungs and the stomach area. If you're breathing and utilizing your diaphragm effectively, when you inhale, your stomach goes out. Your stomach area sort of goes out. So if you're breathing and your stomach goes in, you're not breathing correctly. That doesn't mean you should panic over that. It's okay. It just means you're not breathing as deeply as you could. So the practice for some people of breathing and utilizing those diaphragmatic muscles sometimes takes a little while. But while you're actually concentrating on that, you're not thinking about other things. So it's okay to spend time thinking about where's my stomach when I'm breathing and allowing yourself to just have a few moments to do this. Now, part of the process of the breathing also involves inhaling through your nose. And this is something that even if you've ever taken track or you've done any athletic activities, they very often will tell you, no matter how short of breath you feel, they'll say breathe in through your nose. That has a relaxing aspect to it, the practice of breathing into your nose if you can. Now, some of us have sinus or other allergic things and our nose doesn't work that well, so that's fine. If you can't, don't worry about it. These are not rules about this. These are just practices to begin to help you think about relaxing and allowing your body to have better moments of healing, positive moments of healing several times during the day. So you're going to inhale through your nose for a count of three, hold that breath in for a count of three, and then exhale through pursed lips. You make a small hole for your lips for the breath to come out. So you're creating a little back pressure for your lungs to work on. You're strengthening your lungs. I mean, if you've ever seen, you know, some of these, we used to joke, the Kung Fu Chronicles, whatnot, the Shaolin monks and these people, many cultures have breathing practices. People who meditate and do other those sorts of things have breathing practices. This particular one is specifically geared to helping people relax. So that's why I wanted to start with this really simple thing. If you find it complicated, don't worry about it. It's just a process. You walk your way through it. Some people catch on to it real quickly. Some people it takes a couple of days. Some people it takes a couple of weeks. Depends on how often you do it. I suggest you do this practice at least three times a day for 10 breaths before you get out of bed or the first time you think of it, around lunchtime or right after lunch, and again before you go to bed. The more you do it, the better you get at it. But I'm just saying you should do it at least three times. The practice of taking a few moments and actually just allowing your body to breathe is a very good, useful one. As I say, many cultures around the globe do this all the time. And we folk who are here, members of Western cultures, have been raised to think we have to go, 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 which is fine in some regards. But every so often, and especially if you're someone who's got a chronic situation, your body needs a little bit of time to regroup itself. Being able to muscle your way or push your way through a situation can be important to keep going, but there's also time, and I'm encouraging you, and this is it's a total of maybe 3 to 5 minutes a day. for yourself, to allow yourself to just relax. I want you to remember, think about that comfortable place, outside place you like to be for a few moments. And we're just going to do the breathing. And as I say, I'm going to breathe audibly. You can breathe with me for a few moments. And this is something I want you to do for the next week till we get back in touch again. You can do this 3 or 5 times a day. Play this audio again. I find that very often when I repeat playing something, that I'll hear something I didn't hear the first time. If you have topics you'd like me to discuss, I gave you my email. It's rfw@mutarihypnosis.com. But for a moment, we're just going to do the breathing. So as you inhale through your nose and hold it, now exhale. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. You've done 5. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. Inhale, hold it, exhale. Inhale, hold it, exhale. One more. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Now keep doing that for at least 3 times a day between now and the next recording. But the more times you do it every day, the better you get at it. So I want you to think about taking even just 30 seconds to a minute 3 times a day. You deserve a few moments of peace and calm, no matter what you've been going through. If it's a physical, emotional, spiritual issue, a few moments of calm and peace helps the body's healing process. There's lots of studies on this particular subject. You can feel free to look them up, but in 15-minute increments, I'm not going to spend your time on that. I want you to really recognize you can control how you feel, you can control how you breathe, and you can allow yourself to feel calm and peace in those moments when you do this breathing exercise. I'm also going to do a series of programs for caregivers, which I'll start in the next day or two. So thank you for listening to Ask Dr. Rhonda on Blog Talk Radio.